Hi, I'm Dr. Avanti Kumar Singh. In over 20 years of practicing both Western medicine and Eastern healing traditions, the most important thing that I've learned is that healing is a journey we take together. So on this podcast, I'll be demystifying Ayurveda and other integrated medicine, showing how these simple ancient practices are the keys to unlocking a healthy modern life. We are all healing catalysts because healing starts within. It starts with you, and it starts right now. This is a Soulfire production. Episode number 123. So how many of you are feeling the vibrant energy of spring and having the urge to clear the clutter and clean and cleanse? You know, I definitely am, which is why I think you're going to love today's episode. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the Healing Catalyst Podcast. Today, we're embracing the rejuvenating energy of spring with a touch of feng shui magic, guided by my friend Dana Claudette. Because here's the thing, spring isn't just about cleaning out our drawers and closets. It's also about clearing our hearts and our energy to make room for new growth and new opportunities. And Dana is here to share her wisdom on how feng shui can transform this seasonal transition into a deeply healing experience. A little bit about Dana. Dana Claudette studied art history at Stanford University and became a feng shui master over the course of nearly two decades, working with thousands of people around the world. She is the founder of the School of Intention Feng Shui Certification Program, with an approach to feng shui that is rooted in infinite possibility, creativity, and empowerment. In our conversation, we dive into how spring cleaning with feng shui isn't just about dusting off the shelves, but about moving energy, releasing what no longer serves us, and welcoming in the fresh, vibrant energy of new beginnings. Dana shares the significance of decluttering not just our physical spaces, but also our emotional and our mental spaces, our relationships, everything, shedding the old to make way for the new. Throughout our conversation, Dana shows how clutter impacts our lives more than we think, blocking our paths to what she calls infinite possibilities. She also shares her unique approach to reimagining and revitalizing our spaces by simply shifting things around, just moving them around in our spaces, infusing our surroundings with intentions that align more with our deepest desires. Dana actually walks us through how to start a decluttering journey, emphasizing the importance of small, manageable sessions that lead to really big changes. Plus, she also shares some of her favorite feng shui energy clearing techniques, including the use of flowers, herbs, and salt, etc., to cleanse our spaces and our spirits. You know, I had so many aha moments during this episode because Dana really gave me a new perspective on clutter, one that has really, since our interview a few weeks ago, transformed the way I view the things in my space, in my mind, and in my heart. So grab a cup of tea or your favorite beverage, settle in, and let's get ready to clear the way for some new spring energy filled with clarity and infinite possibilities. I am so happy to share my conversation with Dana Claudette about the power of connecting with nature to release what no longer serves us, the feng shui way. Hi, Dana. I am so happy that you're back on the podcast again. It's so lovely to see you after a very long time. So thanks for doing this today.
Thank you so much. It's the perfect time, perfect season.
It is. And so we are recording this on, I think, March 25th, what is it? It's some kind of a lunar eclipse or something going on, and there's lots of energy swirling. And so we were communicating. We thought it would be a really good time to talk about spring cleaning and spring clearing as we're moving into April, and talking about, you know, sort of the energetics around that, the mental, physical, emotional health benefits of that. So, all right, let's jump in. So, you know, as we're entering spring, we're going into April, you know, a lot of us are thinking about spring cleaning. I always feel like this. I feel like, you know, this burst of energy, sort of like the spring in my step, and I'm like, okay, let's clean this, that, and the other, you know? And so I was really thinking about this and wanted to know, sort of from your perspective, a feng shui perspective, what are some of the foundational principles that we should keep in mind when we start spring cleaning our space and our environment?
I think that's an awesome way to begin. And the most foundational thing that I can think of, and I think it's so pertinent for all of us, thinking about wellness and thriving and being a catalyst and healing, all of this has to do with, in spring, in traditional Chinese medicine, the organ, the liver in your body. And while I'm not a doctor, I can absolutely respect the energy of the liver. So a lot of this is releasing pent-up emotions, releasing anger, releasing frustrations, releasing maybe you felt over the winter like things slowed down to a point where it was unnerving or you feel stuck, like tense, and you need to get that out of your system. All of that lands in your environment. Our environment is a mirror of us. And so as you have that urge to start cleaning, to start clearing things up, essentially it's like doing, and again, I'm not saying on a medical level, but right. It's like doing a liver cleanse where you're saying, I'm going to release all of this energy that I've been holding on to that's impacting me all day long so that I can thrive, essentially. And so when you are approaching cleaning and clearing, rather than being kind of mental about it and being like, gosh, let me check off my checklist, I really like to be very emotional about it and really connect emotionally to what I'm doing. So all of those great actions of spring cleaning, scrubbing, vacuuming, all of these things are really cathartic. If you add an energy component to it, like, oh, I want this frustration out of my life. Oh, I'm going to dust away all of this old stuff and I'm going to free myself. And approaching from that viewpoint, I think is so incredibly powerful because then you start to really feel the power of what you're doing.
Yeah. And so that actually feeds into the next question I had, which is how does spring cleaning from a feng shui perspective differ from sort of a Western perspective of spring cleaning that we think about? And I think you're saying it's the emotions, right?
I think so. And also honoring the fact that there's energy involved. I don't know that people, I think everyone listening to this, and I know that your audience is far more attuned to energy and flow and Ayurveda than, you know, the average audience. But for anyone listening to this, you all know that when you are cleaning, you feel better. Like it's one of the things that you do where you're like, if you don't feel well, if you're depressed, if you have an illness, and you don't clean for a while, when you clean, it literally feels like you just got a revitalization, like someone sprinkled some sort of energy dust on you and you got like a big dose of energy, like a giant vitamin infusion. And that energy is so potent. So I think everyone knows that on some level, but when you're doing spring cleaning and you're really connecting to the process, you're really emotionally involved, but also bringing in a lot of cool things. You can bring in herbs and spices and all sorts of things, which is more unique to the way that I work than maybe traditional feng shui. I really love bringing in all of these elements of nature to bring this added, oof, like this big burst of freshness. So I think that layer of energetics is really more unique and much more fun when you're cleaning.
It is. And I think that that's really true. And it really brings things together in a different way from a mind, body, you know, spirit perspective. And I think it's very similar to Ayurveda in this idea that, you know, over the winter, if we follow nature, right, everything kind of shrinks and, you know, goes inward and hibernates, stops growing. And you're sort of like in this reflection period. And then as soon as spring comes and, you know, the weather shifts, the earth starts to thaw, you have this burst of energy, right? And it's sort of like, okay, let's get that energy moving through our bodies, through our homes, our spaces, through our minds, through everything that we're doing, you know, whether it's like letting go of projects maybe that we just don't need to do and deleting things that we don't need to do and delegating things, like all of those concepts, I think, are sort of wrapped up in what you're talking about. So from
a feng shui perspective or a TCM perspective, like what are, do you think are the energetic shifts that are happening in a space when you start doing this spring clearing and spring cleaning, would you say?
So you're moving into wood energy, and wood energy is the spring, the growth, the blooming, all the things that we see happening at the grocery store. There's more produce. That's really fun at the farmer's market, at the florist, like there's flowers everywhere blooming. That wood energy is inviting us to start exploring in new directions. And that's why a lot of times you feel, ooh, I want to do something new. I want to start a new thing. I want to, you know, take off in a new direction in my life or in my business or whatever it is. This awakening, and it's not structured. And I think that's really important. Like you don't have to have a plan right now, but it's this sense that you're willing to experiment. You're willing to try. You're willing to do. You're willing to grow. And there's much more synergy. It's a much more social time. So I think in terms of your home, it's getting ready to have more social events or to just be more, we'll say, open to people dropping by and, you know, having weekends and sunshine and all of those things. And that coming out of hibernation, that wood energy is very revitalizing. And also, you know, we talk about it. There's a lot of English language that very much coincides, I think, with all ancient practices. And people say, oh, you're in the springtime of your life. And that's like, you know, this youthfulness. And I think there is an eternal youthfulness that's awakened when we really get into this process and say, yeah, I don't want the dust. I don't want the stagnation. I don't want to hold on to this stuff anymore. And I always tell people, do this stuff not because you think feng shui says, or the universe, the world is telling you, society says you have to spring clean. Do it because it feels good, and find right. those ways into doing it that feel really revitalizing, because that's the key to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would agree. I think that, you know, this time of just trying to shift the energy inside and, you know, in our environment is so important. Because again, it's that idea of letting go of what's no longer needed, you know, sort of stepping into the next phase of the year or of your life or, you know, whatever it is, or your journey or new projects. I think there's like this newness in spring that is so invigorating. And so I love that. And it's interesting because, you know, there are so many similarities between TCM and Ayurveda. In Ayurveda, we have 5 elements, right? But in TCM, there's 4. And so it's just interesting to hear you talk about wood as sort of having that energy of, you know, new growth and new beginnings and that energetic shift. Because I don't know that I would have necessarily thought about wood in that way. It's really interesting to me.
It's yoga. It's all the stretching. It's all the things that you do that bring you that sense of possibility. I think that's a great word that we can really use here. The feng shui method that I've developed is anchored in infinite possibility. It's one of the core tenets of everything. And I'm constantly working with people to awaken more creativity, because we create possibility. You have to choose possibility. It's always there, but you have to kind of choose to lean into it and to break out of old patterns. And I think that that's really key. When you watch plants grow, if you watch plants grow in the wild, if they can't find the light, they'll bend to find the light. They'll look to find the light. They'll make their way. If you've ever seen pictures of houses that a tree grew in the middle, or a tree grew in a crazy place and people, you know, it grew with a hole in it so people could walk through it. It's amazing how nature can adapt. And that's that spirit of wood energy. Like, I'm going to adapt. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to move in new directions. So for everyone feeling that sense of like, I don't know what to do, or restlessness, or even just that blue from the winter still hanging on, easing into all kinds of cleaning and clearing can be so revitalizing. And it can help to put you into that, I'm a tree and I'm going to grow no matter what. I'm going to find the light.
Yeah. No, I love those images that you're giving, because yeah, plants always go towards the light. But I want to circle back to something you just said, which is this idea of possibilities. I love that idea and that sentiment, because I do think that that's so much about you know, sort of what spring is. It's like all these new growth possibilities, all of these different things that you can sort of grow in and try and experience. And so I'm thinking about clutter with possibilities, right? Because in a way, I feel like clutter limits our possibilities. Like when you have lots of stuff, again, because going back to what you said, you know, our space and our environment is a mirror of us, of like what's going on within us, right? So let's talk about clutter and how that, you know, sort of limits possibilities, you know, this idea of clearing the clutter and how that factors in.
It's so powerful because I think of clutter like layers. You might not have traditional clutter, but you have things you've outgrown. And so I think especially for the season, it's a really wonderful time because it's a new year in all ways. We've now passed all the thresholds of a new year. We did the actual new year on January 1st. We did the lunar new year, the astrological new year. All the new years have happened. There's other new years and different cultures that have happened. We're really in the new year now. And there's this sense of what have I outgrown? What's been lingering? I did something really interesting in the feng shui school. Right now we're doing a really deep dive into implementation of concepts. And I spent one night going through my desk. I'm sitting at a desk that's like 6 feet by 3 feet. I filled an entire trash bag with stuff that wasn't clutter a year ago.
Oh.
How did I do that? Like, I don't even know where it came from. I'm looking at this desk going, how did that? It's still full of stuff. Like, where did that stuff come from? But it was stuff that I literally could see was no longer a match for where I was headed, no longer a match for the way I was thinking, no longer a match. And it's interesting when you do this, you might look around and go, wow, the art on my walls is no longer a match for me, at least not where it is. Maybe this can go in the hallway or it can go someplace else. You start to see things differently. And I think sometimes it's very confronting because it's like, oh, that's a lot of change. But gradually, when you start getting rid of this stuff, like you said, it opens doors to so much possibility because you're saying, I don't need this old paradigm hanging around. I'm literally walking into a whole new way. And that is something to gradually move into. I don't think you need to quantum leap overnight and dump everything all at once. But I think for a lot of people, especially those listening who've been doing a lot of decluttering for the new year, they've really been doing a lot. This can be that final layer of stuff. Like I said, a whole trash bag from my desk was really shocking. I have a picture of it and I was like, I'm going to keep this picture as a reminder that this stuff can be lingering everywhere because we're growing. And when you're a person who's committed to growth and choosing to grow, you want those more possibilities. And clutter in general is the manifestation of being overwhelmed, which is common and it's nobody's fault, having way too many decisions to make and you have decision fatigue, so you don't know what to do with it, so it stays. Again, nobody's fault. This is the world that we live in. An inundation of data where your mind is just like, I can't take on and think about another thing. And so it stays in the closet. It stays in the drawer. Having too much to do, being too busy. These are all modern conditioned things that I think we can take on personally and say, I am messy. I have these issues. It's hard for me to let things go. I would say, give yourself a very big pass, a big break on that, and have a lot of compassion for yourself because clutter doesn't show up just for you. It's a universal thing. That's why every time I talk about clutter, everyone is on board because everyone has something that they can get rid of.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's the old paradigm. You want to be in the new. You want to have that space for the new. It's very powerful to clear it.
It is. And I love what you said about, you know, when you were cleaning your desk and that things that were not clutter a year ago were clutter now. I love that perspective because so many of us look at clutter as like this stuff that we've been carrying around for, you know, years and years. And that is true a lot of the time. It can be. But this idea that, you know, you can also have seasonal changes of, you know, outgrowing something from a year ago that it's no longer serving you, or perhaps it's, you know, projects that you've already completed. And you can actually do this, you know, in your relationships and your space and in your work, you know, what are the things that you're willing to let go of that maybe last year were really, really important and were the things that you were working on and growing into, but no longer serve you this year. So I love that you said that because I do think that so many of us don't think about clutter that way. We just think of it as like all the stuff that's like just hanging around for years and years rather than this sort of more gentle approach to it of saying, I'm constantly changing. And so my needs are constantly changing. So that was one thing that I loved that you just said, because it really opened up my eyes to even like looking at my desk where I'm, you know, interviewing you right now and thinking, oh yeah, I should probably do the same thing. And again, it's a mindset, right? If I come at the clutter clearing as, let's look at what doesn't serve me now that was serving me a year ago, I think that's a really beautiful way to put it. And then the other thing that you said was this idea of even moving things around in your home. Like maybe it really served a purpose in your bedroom, but you're looking at it and you're like, it doesn't feel like it fits here. Maybe I should move it to my living room or to my office or, you know, whatever other space. Can you talk to us about that, about just like moving things around in the house or in your home environment and how that changes energy?
Absolutely. I mean, everything we have is invested with meaning. It's invested whether we just like the way that it looks. There's something that, whether it's art, a piece of furniture, decor with a certain pop of color, whatever it is, something that it evokes within us. And for we have also memories of when we got it, where it came from, who might have given it to us, what we did, who came over the day it was installed or whatever it is. Everything is loaded with layers of information that we know our connection to these objects. And that's why sometimes it's really comforting. If you grew up in a house that you cherish and you have something from that house, it's really comforting to see it because you're like, oh, I see a whole world of memory in this mirror or in this whatever it is, this knickknack. And so that's one reason, actually, just to put a little underline on that, why clutter is so difficult sometimes to get rid of.
Yeah.
Because we can get attached to even the weirdest things, like a pencil eraser. We could get it attached to anything.
Sure.
And it's okay. It's normal. And when you're looking at your space, how you want to feel changes over time. And I really believe that there are times where we stay stuck, not because we're bad or wrong or broken, but we're literally putting the pieces together for the next level. And it's not that we're necessarily stuck. You're just not ready for that big leap, so to speak. And I think there is something to be said for being okay with having been stagnant, having been idling in one place, having been growing slower than you wanted to grow. Rather than beating yourself up for it, it's about looking around and going, okay, this is the way things have been. This is the influence I have been receiving. Is this how I want to feel in this space? And then you can start looking at objects and go, I love that plant, but I really don't love to see it every day. It reminds me of XYZ.
Right.
Maybe I should give it to a friend, or maybe I should put it out on the patio where I'll think about it a new way. And this is where you can start going, oh, I love this salt lamp that I have on my desk, but I never turn it on. It makes me feel like I'm not using it. Is there a place I could put it where I could use it? And this is where these little questions, these little things, of course, there's so much more feng shui that you can learn and work with. But these are really the formative steps where you're starting to understand, I don't want this influence. If you put it in the perspective of people, you know, when there's like a really antagonistic person in a group that's, you know, needling at you or making like really weird jokes or just really making people uncomfortable. And you would want to either find ways to, you know, move out of that group or limit your contact. You would want to rearrange things so that you weren't in that person's purview. You don't want to be criticized. You don't want to get that energy in your life.
Right.
And it's the same thing for things in your space. Either you can get rid of them or you can move them around so that they're not necessarily in your face. And you can find ways to make the most of them or transform them. If you have an antagonistic person in a group, you might have a conversation with them and transform it, just like you might repaint a piece of furniture. and change it, or do an energy clearing and change it. And then you have a whole new perspective. But I think everything is so united. I think the difference when you're working with home is that it's not usual to think of objects as having this sentient quality, like this right. humanistic quality where objects can have a personality or evoke so much emotion, but they really do.
Yeah, they're so attached to memory. I think that this idea of, you know, transforming a space by moving things around, but also transforming sort of the energy or the memory that you have attached to something by moving it is so important. And it's bringing up for me, there's a blanket, this beautiful blanket that one of my very close friends gave to me right after my first chemotherapy. And I will tell you, that blanket was so comforting to me. It would sit on our living room couch. And so, you know, during chemotherapy last year, I was really tired. And so if I would go downstairs into my first floor, I would just lay on the couch just so I could get some sun and just be around people and around the kitchen and, you know, just have a change of scenery from my bedroom. And that blanket was so comforting because it represented my friend Justine. It represented her love for me, her care. It also reminded me of all my friends. And I will tell you that now that same blanket sitting downstairs, you know, when I was done with all my treatment, evoked a lot of memories of a really hard time. And so that meaning changed for me. Now, I'm not getting rid of the blanket because it still means a lot to me, but I've moved it, you know, to where our TV area is so that, you know, everybody can use it. It's not like my sort of security blanket, quite literally, for when I was going through chemotherapy. It's changed meaning for me. And so I've transformed the meaning. So that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about this idea of transforming your feeling around something in your home. So thank you for that. I love this. It's really, really a good way to think about clearing and cleaning.
It's such a powerful, I got chilled when you were telling that example. It's really powerful.
Yeah, it is. And it's, I think it speaks so much to what you're talking about in such a personal way to me. And actually, I'm thinking about so many things that are in my home. You know, I didn't get to really clear and organize or do anything for a full year. I was just too tired. And so now I'm actually in that mode of putting things away, rearranging things. So I'm really going to come at it from this perspective of how can I transform sort of the memories and the thoughts that are associated with so many of the things that were so comforting and so important last year. They haven't necessarily lost their importance, but the importance has changed. So I just really love this perspective because I do think it can be really hard to let go of things that you've, you know, spent a lot of time and money and energy acquiring to just let them go can be hard. And so this, you know, this is another perspective of just kind of transforming it. So I love that. I have a question about, you know, sort of like the tactical, because I know everybody listening to this podcast always loves sort of the tactical, like, what can I do? And so, you know, let's start with decluttering first, you know, and then we'll go to the energetics. From your perspective, and I mean, you help so many people through this process. What is a good way to start, you know, with a decluttering process? Like, where do you even start? If you're feeling overwhelmed, especially, how do you even start?
You know, I like to begin with things that are going to impact your daily life. I know a lot of people think my closet is full, my garage, these big areas, the attic, the basement, and you know, this is like the thing. This is the big thing that's really weighing you down. And yet that's a lot to confront all at once. And you're not necessarily going to see the impact of what you do in your basement unless you go there every day. You're not really going to have those immediate wins. So I like people to start with their daily routine and the things that they're in contact with, especially at the start of the morning, because that's where you're getting your mindset really in place, right? So if you wake up, your bedroom's full of clutter, your nightstands are full of stuff, and then you get up and you know, walk to the bathroom and you've got 600 different face washes, and now you have to start navigating through what you're going to use and what you're going to do. And, you know, you're sifting through all of that stuff and then finally take a shower. You know, finally get out to start the day and you go to make tea and there's 500 boxes of tea. You know, we have all these areas that we are navigating a lot of stuff. And they're not necessarily things where you think, oh, cleaning my one pantry closet is going to change my life. Yes, it will. Because you will see the effect of what you have done immediately on a daily basis. And that sends messages to your mind. I guess like to zoom back, and this is for everyone who hasn't thought about their environment as a huge key to change and growth. It really is. It's the stage on which you live your life. And so you're getting all of your messages. We think about the influence of things. Oh, I want to be positively influenced. I want a positive group of friends. I want positive influences. But your home is your greatest influence. So you want that to be the most positive thing because it's constant. It doesn't just come over once in a while or call you, you know, or you don't get together. You're living it on everyday basis. And so when you start with those things that you see all the time, then you have this huge sense of support and you have this sense of pride and you see, I changed this. What else can I do? And it gives you that momentum because now you aren't making decisions. You aren't waking up and going, what face wash do I pick? And then what shampoo do I use? You have it all streamlined. You don't have 600 choices. You have maybe two or three.
Right.
And you can really navigate life so much more easily. And we don't really think about it, but there's one thing I'd like to share with everyone, and that is that decision fatigue is a real thing. And what people don't realize often, and I didn't realize, was that by having a multitude, an extreme amount of options for everything in my face constantly, I was getting really fatigued early on in the day, or I wouldn't even want to do things. I had way too much in my closet, so I wouldn't want to even get dressed. I would just wear the same thing every day because I wouldn't even want to go through all the things and try to sort through all the clutter. And so you're really going to free yourself up to be more effective in every way if you even just start with that morning routine, the places, the space, the things that you see, and then you can start building momentum to tackle the big things. And in terms of tactically doing it, I'm a big fan of starting with really small sessions. So 15, 20 minutes, to not get overwhelmed, to not feel weighed down, to not feel like you're like, I got to clear this clutter. And you will naturally build momentum and you'll be able to do more. But this is a really manageable way to get through a drawer, to get through, you know, a section of your closet, to get through the shampoo or conditioner in your shower, whatever it is. You have these moments where you can just dedicate and you start building a lot of momentum.
Yeah. No, I love all of these ideas. And I think that your idea of, you know, not focusing on the big things, because, you know, that is, I'm totally, you know, guilty of that also. Like I'm thinking about, I got to clean my closet and my body has changed so much and blah, 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 blah. And it's overwhelming. Like you said, I think that your point about decision fatigue is actually so important. And it's also decision fatigue if you're trying to clear clutter, right? So if you do take on that big closet, there's so many decisions about what to get rid of and what to keep. So you're just like playing into that decision fatigue that you already started with. So I think this idea of like, you know, starting with a small little area, that also cuts down the number of decisions you have to make. If it's your tea drawer, you just have to make decisions about which teas to keep and which ones to get rid of. Like that's it, right? So you could probably handle that and then move on to the next thing. So I think it's sort of the decision fatigue is sort of, you know, there's two sides to that. Like the decision fatigue you're already feeling going into it, but then also cutting the decision fatigue of deciding what to keep and what not to keep. So I think that's a great idea.
One of the things that's really fun to do is to think about yourself like you're stocking a store and you're just deciding, I'm going to use this up. Like I'm going to use up whatever this makeup, and now it's discontinued. Like, I'm not going to keep buying this. Like, I'm not going to keep getting this. If you truly don't use something, let it go or gift it to someone who will. But you get to decide all these regular things because there are a lot of regular things we're bringing into our space that are also clutter. The things we always grab at the grocery store, the things we always accumulate. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, no, I'm going to discontinue this. I'm not putting this on my regular order. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something new.
Yeah.
And it really frees you up to start thinking in totally new ways about everything.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And so let's go to then, you know, you talked about sort of the physical, tactical ways, you know, to start clearing clutter. What are some of the specific feng shui energy clearing techniques that you really suggest people do in the springtime specifically?
If you can, if you have sunshine, open up your windows. There's nothing like having sunshine. It is the, I think, master cleanser of all things. It's the ultimate light. We have every color of the rainbow in the sun, and it's just so simple to open up your curtains, open up your blinds when you get up in the morning, and let even just daylight, even if it's not bright sunshine, but daylight flood in. That is a huge energy booster for your space, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes in the rooms that you're spending time in. What a difference it makes. It's also really great for you to start your day, for your circadian rhythms, to get that sunshine as soon as possible when you wake up in the morning. So open the windows, open the blinds, get the sunshine streaming in. And then if you want to start exploring practices, a few things that I think are really interesting and fun. One is to, again, going back to house cleaning, to clean with a little bit more of an eye toward energetics. And when I teach feng shui, we experiment together. We do what I call a space clearing lab in the feng shui school, so that people can start working with different herbs and spices and essential oils and noticing what really works for me. Because not every practice is going to work the same. But I like to start with the easy things to get. So for instance, you can make some mint tea. So we'll pretend this is mint tea. I make my tea, I cool my tea, and then I'm going to pour my tea into my mopping water when I'm mopping. Or I'm going to pour some tea into my cleaning spray, and or I'm going to put a few drops of essential oil into my DIY natural cleaning spray. And I'm going to use that, and I'm going to connect to what that is that I'm using. So if I'm using mint, before I do this, I'll hold my mint, I'll feel it. I'm going to see if any sensations come to me. Do I feel energized? Do I feel more grounded? And I'm going to set an intention. I'm going to bring more of that energy into my whole space when I'm cleaning or doing clearing. That to me is one of the best things. So you can start by doing that sort of tea method with simmering basil, simmering rosemary, simmering mint is one of my favorites because it's so energizing. And so you can play around with that, which is very practical because you're bringing it into your house cleaning. Another big thing is salt. Salt is the ultimate energy cleanse. And I think in many cultures it is. It certainly is in Japan as well as, you know, throughout different parts of Asia, but also in different pagan traditions. Salt is very, very powerful. And it's this huge cleanse. That's why I think for all these ancient practices of swimming in the ocean to, you know, release any sort of toxin or old patterns and, you know, getting into that salt water. And so just putting out bowls of salt around your house, just regular sea salt, little bowls, nothing fancy. You don't need pink salt from a special place, like literally just bowls of plain sea salt and little ones. You could just little tiny ones, or you could even put it in cups if you like, if you don't want to fill whole bowls, and place them anywhere where the energy feels stuck or heavy or weighed down, and just imagine that this salt is going to purify and cleanse this space, almost like an air filter for the energies. And so you can leave them out and leave them for as long as feels good. So it could be one per room, two per room, often in bedrooms, I'll put them on the nightstands and leave them for as long as it feels good. That might be a week, it might be a month, it might be 2 days. And when you're done, you just take the salt, put it in the trash bag and take out the trash and you're done. And you just move on. And I love actually keeping salt on a regular basis going like that in times of doing lots of decluttering, because you're stirring up a lot of energy when you're decluttering, so that salt acts like a vacuum energetically.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Those are simple things. So you said mint, basil, rosemary, simmer tea. and use that in your cleaning products. And then the idea of salt, that's great. Are there any other specific, you know, ways to arrange things that are good for energy clearing? Because I know in feng shui, a lot is about arrangement in rooms. Is there something that you could suggest that would be easy for people to do?
I would say just notice where things feel closed and open them up. I don't think that there's one particular way to arrange that's going to be the optimal. What you want to do is essentially get rid of any place where things feel closed or blocked. So if you have a living room that has all these different side tables jammed in between all the sofas, and it feels like a big block of energy, you might want to pull them apart a little bit. You might want to consider rearranging them so that they're two separate sofas instead of being linked together with all these tables. So you have an openness in your space. You want to think about, even just think about circulation. And you know what it feels like when you have, if you've been on a plane or anything else and you've been sitting and you have like no circulation in your feet, you stand up and you're like, oh my goodness, like I have to get this moving. Same thing happens in your home when you have like this clusters of stuff that's stuck together. You could think of it like a block in circulation. And so you want to shake it awake. Like when your feet fall asleep, you want to shake it awake.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I think that that's why it can be some of this awakening, especially when we're talking about spring cleaning and clearing. There is a sense that you can trust yourself to follow the energy that you feel. And I think that it comes as a surprise to hear experts say, you can really trust yourself to do this, right? But you really can trust yourself to follow the energy you feel when you're getting unstuck. Yes, you can do more. You can learn more. You can transform on a higher level. You can do all these things, but this is foundational stuff. And I think at the foundation of all things is trusting you. You are like the ultimate healing catalyst, right? Yeah, like yes. You are the ultimate source of all of this stuff. And I consider the feng shui method that I've generated, created, and have been practicing for all these years as a mode of self-actualization. And it's not actualization because you're following rules. It's actualization because you're really coming to connect deeply with yourself, as well as nature, as well as the flow of the greater universe. And to me, that's super powerful.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And it is, you know, so much of the work that I'm doing with Ayurveda is this idea of tuning back into self for healing. And so I think that's what you're speaking to, is that go with what your intuition says about how to arrange things or what to bring into your space. And I know also that, you know, sometimes it's really fun to understand like what different herbs, you know, represent, or what different flowers, or, you know, things like that from these traditional healing traditions or these traditional healing methods, because they do have a lot of meaning and they have a lot of medicinal benefits as well. So sometimes I know I get attached to like, okay, which herb should I use, or which flowers, or, you know, whatever it is. And so sometimes I think that's also helpful. But some of the herbs that you talked about are very energizing and clearing. I think, you know, one of the things when people are asking me, you know, let's say about food, you know, what foods to eat as you transition from one season to the next, I always say, look at what's available in nature. Nature is going to tell us, you know, what to do when. And so I think sort of the same thing, even with the sort of feng shui in your home, is look to nature, is what I'm hearing you say, is like, look around and see what are you feeling like is what you need in your space. And a lot of time that's just connecting with what's going on in the natural world, if I'm hearing that correctly.
100%. And, you know, it's the urges that we have. Like we started this conversation, like you feel in spring, the spring in your step, you want to go and do things.
Right.
The same thing in winter. You don't have that same necessarily, maybe getting ready for the holidays, but you don't have that same feeling of, gee, let's open up everything. Let's open the windows. We're really meant to flow with nature. I mean, we're meant to even sleep more in tune with nature. Just, you know, when you think about these body clocks in traditional Chinese medicine, sleeping more in harmony with the rise and the fall of the sun is something that's so foreign to so many of us who live in a world where we rise and fall according to our schedule. You know, we rise and sleep, we decide, instead of nature.
Right.
And so in many ways, we've become autonomous from nature, but we're completely dependent on nature and we are nature.
Right.
And I think the more we can reconnect, the more powerful all of these practices are. You feel calmer, you feel more grounded, you feel more flow. And I do think there's something beautiful about knowing ancient symbology, like you said, like knowing all these ancient principles, what's been used for what reason, what herbs, what spices. And then there's also just these incredible, there's one cure, cure that I can share that's very much a spring cure. And it is general, but specific. And it's called the fragrant flower cure. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's something you might want to try. It's a wonderful practice. It's usually recommended to people after you've had either an illness or you've come out of a stagnant period, you've come out of some sort of stress where there's sort of like a layer of energy settled around you. And it's great for the spring for that reason, kind of getting rid of that haze of winter. And it's wonderful for bringing in abundance. It raises the energy of your home so high. And so to do this, it's the fragrant flower cure. So you're going to get 3 bunches of fragrant flowers. And in order to do this well, you probably need about 6 vases. And you can get away with doing it with 3 vases. You just have to be a little strategic about it. So you're going to get 3 bunches of fragrant flowers, and you're going to put 1 bunch in your living room, 1 bunch in the kitchen or dining room, that type of an area, and 1 bunch in your bedroom. And you're going to leave in 3 days. They're going to be flourishing. They're going to be going. Maybe they're opening up. Maybe like lilies are opening up, whatever it is. So the first 3 days, second 3 days, you're going to get another 3 bunches of flowers. And you're going to either add to the bunches you already have. So if you have big vases, you can add in more, or you can put a second vase in a different part of the room. And you're going to do the second bunch on all 3 rooms.
Okay.
Then 3 days later, you're going to do the same thing all over again. So your first flowers might be droopy a little bit, might need to get cleared out. So if you have some flowers at this point that are bendy or they've seen better days, you can start plucking them out of your vases and fill in all of the new. And that is it. By the end of the 9 days, if you set an intention at the beginning, you should feel the difference. By the end, I feel the difference with the first bunch. So I do this all year round. I'm in LA, in California, kind of like with the seasons. We have things all year round.
Right.
But yeah, it's one of the good ones.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful practice. And also, you know, with all the spring flowers coming out, it's a beautiful time to do something like this. I was actually just at the grocery store yesterday and I picked up a couple of bunches of flowers from the grocery store. And, you know, that's one thing I want to tell everybody, that, you know, these don't have to be expensive flowers. They can just be, you know, grocery store flowers. It's just something fresh that you have, you know, brought into your home that has that energy of nature, I think is what you're getting at. But fragrance, of course, is helpful because that also evokes energizing effects on you, but also into the space. There's energy from the scent as well. I love that. And so, you know, maybe the last question I have is, what have you seen as really sort of some of the effects of organizing your space and spring cleaning? I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, the energizing effect and things, but like, what are some things that you've really seen transform for some of your students and your clients that you've worked with when they've done some of these things on their mood and their, you know, personal energy, like their actual energy, not energetic energy, but like how they feel, you know, energetic versus fatigued or productivity? Can you share some of those? Because I think sometimes hearing some of those inspiring stories is really inspiring, and it can get you like over the hump of like, okay, I'm going to try this, you know?
Oh, sure. I've had so many. I had a woman who just messaged me during our, we do a declutter to start the new year. And she said she consistently felt joy for the first time for days and days and days on end, that she felt consistent joy. And that hasn't been a part of her life in years. And to me, I can't think of a better thing. And she said, I know the last time I felt this way, really big things came into my life afterwards. So I know that big things are coming. And just the idea that if you've been in a really heavy place, you've had a lot going on, to be able to feel joy again is like winning the lottery. Like that's kind of how it feels sometimes. And it is unbelievably powerful. So we've had a lot of that. That message really stuck out to me because it was so profound the way that she worded it. But I've had people who cleaned up, started to clear things with that deep intention, like everything sort of, I'm the school of intention, everything driven by intention, started to clear things out. And it was magnificent. She was actually bouncing off the walls for days. She got really deep into clearing. It was during COVID, that lockdown period, and she didn't have any place to go. So she was like, I'm like bouncing off the walls. I have so much energy. I don't know what to do with myself. And I was like, that's fantastic. And that is, you know, I've seen one of the coolest things about decluttering is that the material gains are usually very quick as well. So you're clearing out, but Catherine Ponder, an ancient prosperity teacher, she teaches ancient prosperity, we'll say laws or theorems. And her big thing is the cleansing law of prosperity. And I've seen that hundreds, thousands of times where people clear things out, they get a new job. They get money. They find money in their house. Right. They find checks. I've had so many students last season find gift cards for hundreds of dollars, checks, all kinds of things, all kinds of opportunities, mail they didn't realize they had, all in there. Even my video editor found, I think he found a few thousand dollars and his birth certificate that he almost put into storage while he was clearing out his desk when we were editing one of our programs together. And so it's remarkable. You think to yourself, how could someone lose that? Or how could someone put that away? Things happen,
right?
Like we all go through things, things happen. And when you're starting to feel that readiness to peel away what's been stuck, it's amazing what you can open up to. And like you said, this is a big eclipse today. So we're eclipsing in a lot of really incredible, joyful energy, and riding those waves of joy wherever you can find it is one of the best ways to declutter your whole life, right? Mind, body, spirit, the happier you can be.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think that, you know, what you're saying is so true is like when you clear the space that is sort of sticking to you, the energy that's sticking to you, whether it's, you know, a physical thing or an energetic thing, you're creating space for more new things to come in, which is what I think you're speaking to. I've found that that is very true in my life as well. And so I think that's a great way to think about spring clearing and spring cleaning and having that intention. And so I feel like that's a really good place for us to end the episode, even though we could keep talking. But thank you so much for doing this with me, Dana. I know that people are going to really, really enjoy this. And, you know, we will put links to joining you in all of your programs. You have some amazing programs. I've taken them before. We'll make sure that we link those in the show notes. But thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you so much. I'm wishing you so much spring abundance for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to The Healing Catalyst. If you love what you heard, please hit follow and pass it along to a friend. And if you're feeling really inspired, please rate and review so that others can find this podcast more easily. To learn more, head to avantikumarsingh.com. And to connect with me directly, find me on Instagram at avantikumarsingh. I'll be back next week and hope that you will be too. Until then, remember, with the right catalyst, you have the power to activate your own healing, because healing starts within.